Hello and welcome. You are listening to CITR Radio 101.9 FM, broadcasting from unceded Musqueam territory in Vancouver. And we have a special treat for you today. We have half of Zoo Strategies, Daniel and Trevor, shredding from the studio. So how are you feeling? You guys ready? All right, this is Zoo Strategies coming at you live.
Teen Suicide Ghost.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. We do have a drummer and a bass player, but they are absent. One's at work and one's on the island getting ready to leave for England. So it's understandable. All right, this song's called What Doth Life. Hope some people get the reference. This song, I've actually used this phrase quite a lot lately. It's called Unintended Consequences. Trevor just said this one's difficult and he doesn't like it. I enjoy it. You can't see this, but it's quite entertaining. Thank you. This is going to be our last song. We have two more songs. This song is kind of inspired by a true life event. It's called Single Hat Lost at Sea. I'm sure lots of people have lost their hats at sea. This is a tribute to you. Thank you.
All right. That was Zoo Strategies, Trevor and Daniel from Zoo Strategies playing some tunes for us, and they will be joining us in the booth shortly for an interview, so stick around for that.
Astorino's is located off Commercial Drive in the heart of East Vancouver. It's run by the Britannia Community Center and is available to rent for anyone. Some of its features include tall ceilings, wood floors, accessible bathrooms, a stage, and a PA. Astorino's is an accessible space and centrally located. It's ideal for any type of rehearsal, information session, dance classes, arts and craft sales, rummage sales, community events, and of course, shows and dancing.
Check out BritanniaCenter.org and the Facebook search Astorino's, or contact Maddie Harris by email at maddiefromlife@gmail.com to learn more.
AMS Food Bank. Your access to money during the studies at UBC will most likely be limited, but it is a priority of the AMS Food Bank to ensure your access to food is not. The AMS Food Bank provides emergency food relief 7 days a week for all UBC students. To volunteer with the Food Bank or for inquiries about how to take advantage of the services provided, contact them at foodbank@ams.ubc.ca. For more information, find the AMS Food Bank on Facebook or feel free to visit anytime across from the Wellness Center and Sprouts.
Part about Manitoba.
Southern Manitoba specifically.
Yeah. Continental Canada.
So first of all, thank you guys for joining us.
Oh, thanks.
Thanks for having us, man.
You guys coming here was preceded by an interview that Drake had with Nardwar. Mm-hmm. So Drake listens to your music.
Does he?
Well, but by extension.
Wow.
Because
that's how the radio does work.
Yeah. I wonder what of those songs we just played, I wonder which one Drake likes the most.
Probably his own music.
Yeah.
and in that interview, through the interview, Drake set Nardwar up for an interview with Lil Wayne. So my question is, who are you setting me up to interview?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Like your mom or?
I don't know. Like by association, I don't know.
What about, like, Adrian outside?
Yeah, Adrian.
Who's sitting on the couch there.
Our friend Adrian, who we've played music with for years. He looks very
He's just a guy.
Yeah, just a guy.
He probably doesn't even know we're talking about him right now.
Well, he can hear us.
Even better.
I don't know. Who are like?
So, back into the real world of seriousness, you played some new songs today, some unreleased.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, never actually played live before. I think most of those...
Yeah, well, I think at least five of those songs we've... Oh, no.
You played Single Hat Lost at Sea at a concert. I don't know if it was your latest one, but it was the most recent one that I went to.
We played that at the Seven Dining Lounge, I think, in October.
Okay, yeah, I was there.
Yeah.
And then we also played it at when we did Shindig.
Yeah. Actually, we played a few of those. There was actually one song that is new that we played at Shindig that we didn't play today.
Okay.
So, I think technically they've all been played live.
Yeah.
Cool. Mm-hmm. So what are the plans for the new album? When's it coming out? What's it called? What does it mean to you?
Well, we just did the kind of like the bed tracks on Saturday with our friend Maddie from the band Reef Shark, and it was great. Mm-hmm. And we whipped through it all in one day, and had some like cool stuff that we never tried before, like just piano. Like,
yeah, there's actually a lot of piano on this record.
Just because it was there, I guess, and we're just like,
you just had a piano.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and it sounds great. It's gonna sound awesome.
Uh-huh. That's all it takes. So if I leave a washboard in the recording studio, there's going to be a washboard on
probably,
your next album.
Probably, yeah. Maybe. Well, we're just like saying, what do you have around? Like, we have this piano. Like, okay, well, let's just put it on there.
Yeah, I mean, cool. Like, there were all sorts of other kind of, like, office supply sort of things. Like, there were chairs and, and like, pens. And, like, we were really thinking about, like, maybe those would be good additions to the record on a kind of percussive level.
Okay.
But yeah. They weren't.
So you did try it, though.
Yeah, we did try it. We did think about it. It's important to kind of, like, consider all the options, I think.
Yeah, yeah, the album, I think the working, I think we all agreed on is the title Languager.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's a Rick and Morty reference, if anyone wants to guess.
I love Rick and Morty, and I'm trying to pull out that specific time point.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll have to get back to you guys. Yeah. So Rick and Morty reference on this one, Simpsons reference on Separation. Is there anything that I'm missing on
What Doth either? Life is Xavier Renegade Angel, another Adult Swim TV show?
Okay, I didn't get What Doth Life. So explain it to us uncivilized folk.
A bit out of Daniel did this one. I think you probably...
What's the song about, or what's What Doth Life?
Yeah, I don't remember the episode.
Both.
Really.
Both are important to me.
Yeah, well, if anyone's seen the show Xavier Renegade Angel, it's a really bizarre, like, CGI show that has, like... It's like almost like the show Beast Wars, if you remember that show.
Gross.
But that's all the animation. But this weird... It's kind of like... It's like a really... It's kind of like a spoof on, like...
It's like New Age... It's like a spoof on New Age humor. Yeah. And like Windows 95.
Yeah.
It's a spoof on Windows 95.
Yeah, and New Age. Yeah. New Ageic philosophy.
Okay.
Like, hence the term What Doth Life. I think this guy, he just rambles on about.
Okay, now I remember. So in the episode, Xavier, the Renegade Angel, he keeps going around and asking people, like the main question that thinkers have pondered for generations is the question, What Doth Life?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's a great song title.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is a question that I have for, like, anyone that's making instrumental music. How do you pick a name that represents that series of notes? Like, it's easy if there's lyrics, because you could be like, this is a lyric that I said a number of times, so I'll put that in the title. Like, how do you...
I don't know. Like, of course a little bit is being a little, like, to be completely honest, is being, like, funny. A little cheeky at some times,
okay.
I would say. Like, you just find something that, like, makes... I don't know, just makes sense to the piece. I don't know, like, I mean, there's some things where, like, I don't know if we ever had a piece of music where, like, there was, like, an actual, like, emotional theme to the music, or any type of emotional theme to music, and we said, that's going to be the title of that. But I think sometimes there's, like, almost, like, if you pick a title for something, and it creates that image in your head, then you kind of play to, I don't know, like, Pleasant Encounter, they're called Pleasant Encounters of the Fourth Kind.
Mm-hmm. Well, that one had a few different names. Like, I think that... like, before it was called, like, Burn the Cargo or something.
Okay. Well, so, and Teen Suicide Ghosts were only skate parks. I mean, you guys go through some dark stuff.
Yeah. You have to ask Daniel about that title.
That's actually an idea I had for, like, a comic book idea. And actually, like, I kind of have, like, an outline for it. But, like, it was just about this world about these kids who, like, overdose on this, like, substance. And they enter this dream world together. Mm. But they're all kind of, like, crappy, like skateboard kids. So they enter this ghost world just so they can skateboard and just be Ruth and just be kind of like rebels and stuff like that. But I don't know. I just like, it's just like, it's such a long title and stuff like that. It's almost kind of like a 1940s like noir title for a song. Or
the rest of the titles on that record, like, I couldn't even tell you how they, like, I named the Bleeding Out song.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Miles came up with Actual Birthday. You'd have to ask him about what on earth that means.
Yeah.
Weekend Dad, it's a strange one. I was going for Weekend Dude, but that one didn't fly, and we went with the Weekend Dad title.
Not even half the time. Feels like running away to somewhere I should have stayed.
Yeah, I was just.
I think that's cool. That's really. I
that's the
that
deepest
dude.
We got.
Yeah,
but it's
good. But
it's
some good lyrics on that.
It's really cool.
Yeah, it's kind of nice when you have like music that like is pretty like out there and obscure. I think our music's pretty obscure. But like, it has like they can have an emotional tone. I just have more like a human connection to it, which anything. I think that's like some of the best music out there, where it's just like so weird, but it's like you can relate to it.
Mm-hmm.
We relate to a very specific audience. But
yeah, it's very Canadian music, I think.
Like Canadian in what way? Like
just
like Drake Canadian or.
Sure.
Okay.
That's interesting. Now that Drake is like when people think of Canadian music. Like Drake and the Arcade Fire.
And Metric.
I guess so. Well, yeah. I mean, I guess there's tons.
Of Nickelback. Can't forget Nickelback.
Yeah.
The Tragically Hip.
Yeah, I like the Hip a lot. They're cool.
I mean, I like...
Gord Downing?
Downey, yeah. Downey, one of his albums I just love so much. I forget what it's called. But it's a cowboy on the cover. I can't remember what it's called. But that's a freaking great album.
Cool. All right.
I'm just plugging Gord Downey.
Yeah, yeah. Well, maybe he's a fan, you know. Yeah, maybe you're going to set me up with him.
Yeah, exactly. That's it.
This is what it is.
We're just discovering who it is you're going to interview later through this.
Cool.
Yeah.
So I have a question about like the growth and the trajectory of Zoo Strategies. So your early work is like there weren't any like lyrical bits, and then you've kind of moved into more lyrical, and it sounds like there's even more vocals on your latest track. What kind of growth went into that?
I don't know. Like, I guess the idea just like there's so much space in our music we had before. We had these sections where it wasn't like. There wasn't too much noodling going on. It was just like, let's just have a groove here.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I just had some ideas, like just kind of idea, put some vocals in there and stuff. But it was never like, yeah, let's make it like a traditional like song where like here and here. I'm trying to think of like a band that we like
Rooftops. I think they do a similar kind of thing where they just use a little bit of vocals like in one specific section to kind of change the quality of the textures in the song a little bit.
Mm.
Yeah, I always like that type of stuff where it's just like, it doesn't overshadow. I never want the vocals or the lyrics or anything just to overshadow. It's more, I would almost say we're just an instrumental band that has a little bit of singing in it.
They're very background. I mean, like I've noticed like the way that you record them and the way that you like it, it's like below the music. Yeah. It's not.
Never want it on top. I always like just vocals in the mix and stuff like that. Just part of like, because it's an instrument. So just in there and it doesn't take over what the actual, because I think just the music and instrumentation is like that what it is.
I think another thing too is just like us trying a little bit of different things on each record. So I think the natural progression for us from the last one was to kind of maybe take a little bit of the songwriting formula from Separation and a little bit of the vocals and sort of like fine tune whatever it is we were doing there and kind of try to take it to another level, I guess. And so just adding a little more vocals maybe is just kind of an experiment in us fine-tuning our formula a little bit.
Yeah. I think also just groove, too. That was the one thing like when we're making these songs. It's just like, where does the song take you in actual, like, not necessarily just rhythmic, but just like something that's like, I know like the lots on the new songs were just like one thing just for a long time before. I think on other ideas, it's like one quick idea, then the next one, Like, let's actually like focus on something, get into it. And when we're even recording, it's just like, let's actually like, sit back into the music and stuff like that. And that was really nice doing.
Yeah, this record has a lot more repetition.
It feels like there's more continuity, too. Like, before it was, there was like, I mean, like traditional math rock, like just jumping around everywhere all over the map. And it just, listening to it now, there sounds like there's like more flow to it. Is that kind of what you guys were going for?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, we spent ages like tweaking these songs. Like, like some of these songs, like they're like probably three or four versions we've written of them, and like, we were really trying to just get them as cohesive as possible. Yeah.
Would you ever like write like three or four versions of a song and then play it all at once and just see what that's like?
I think we thought about it.
I mean, we listen to, we demo everything we do, and it's like, we'll demo one, like, even at the same session, we'll, like, demo this version, and then we'll just, the next one with a slight different change, and, like...
I mean record all of them and listen to them all at the same time. That's what I'm talking about.
Haven't tried it.
Simul-listening. Yeah. Get more
just
stuff done.
All on top of each other, yeah.
Yeah, maybe there's, like, an interesting harmony in there that we never knew was possible.
I think it's just gonna sound like beating a dead cat, probably.
Maybe. Just be a noise.
Yeah. Sound cool. I don't know. Who knows?
What was the second part of the question? Where are we going?
I mean, that's another important thing.
Okay. Well, we should give out a shout out to our drummer Miles, who is leaving for England. So we are going nowhere.
Okay. Well, he's going to England.
Yeah, he's going.
And then, so we're actually kind of like, I think we're definitely going to still make music together. And like, we have other projects. I think our friend Adrian, he's still there. We're also in another band called Polar Horse, who have played actually. We played on CATR like a year ago. And we may do something together. We're always like musical friends.
Yeah, make more music as Polar Horse and like track down whoever lost that music and break some legs, because it's like, I need more of it, please.
Yeah, we have songs, but.
Yeah, there are. We've written songs. And
cool. Well, then what are you doing here? What are you doing wasting your time with some nobody? Like, just get out there and make music.
We're doing our best.
Yeah,
we're doing our best. Yeah.
Your people.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so yes, Bear. Then I mean, I realize you guys aren't as connected to it, but
yeah.
Is that?
I think they're. It's all contingent on Miles, so they're on hiatus too.
Yeah.
Okay.
But Stefan has another band called Cloud Hood, and they're really good as well.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
So he's continuing with that, and Brendan has. I think is he still gonna do Hieroglyph stuff?
Yeah, Brendan's involved in like a series of metal projects. He's just a constant stream of music production.
Wow.
Yeah.
He has tons of stuff, right? It's all pretty crazy.
Yeah.
He has other band, I think actually with Miles, but I think they also do that so much like digitally and stuff like that and just on Logic. But I think they're probably going to still do that. So there's going to be new music from Hieroglyph. Mm-hmm.
So what's it like working in two different bands? Like, how does that, what sounds can you bring into it and what sounds can you bring across and what do you have to leave behind?
Okay, well, the work kind of philosophy is much different in Polar Horse than it is in Zoo Strategies. I feel like Polar Horse is a much looser band that is a lot less focused on kind of what it is we're trying to do, how we're going to do it. We like jam a lot and like we don't really have a lot of general goals. Whereas in Zoo Strategies, it's very, like you show up to rehearsal and like we'll have a plan or we'll like work on something and there's like a lot of intent behind it. We'll be having a lot of like orders and stuff like do this, do that. We'll take a break. We never take breaks in Polar Horse, but that's a novel feature to Zoo Strategies is to go into the alley after about an hour and then do some stuff in the alley and then come back.
Do alley stuff.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
That's the true difference between the two bands are there.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I think the thing, interesting thing with like when you're and just any project I've been in is always kind of like there's an idea, like someone has their own individual part and they kind of go with it and there's very little change to it. Like we're kind of like, oh, that's the guitar part. Okay, I guess that's going to be a song. Like maybe we'll say that's not really working too much, but more or less it goes with it.
Mm-hmm.
I think with like Zoo Strategies, and it's actually really encouraging. Like we'll play something and then Miles will go, oh, no, I don't like that. Change it. And we're just like, and a bit of you in the beginning is like who are you to tell me like what this is my guitar part, but like you realize, oh, I can make something better then.
Yeah, for the greater good.
And there's a lot of time. I mean, we say it to Miles too. Like, yeah, change your damn drum part or something like that.
Or we'll tell Brendan like, here's a new bass part or something. Or like, can you play that with like a little more like feeling or whatever?
I think we're like, yeah, we're so involved with each other's like instrumentation in the sense and what we're playing. And I think we all love each other's playing, but it's like, oh man, I'm doing this one thing. If he could play that. That would sound great and stuff like that. So I think that's a bit more, it's like friendly, like four-way dictatorship.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of this kind of like greater good kind of ideal in the band.
Very political.
Yeah, like it's not about what you're doing. It's about how it serves the song or.
Cool.
Yeah, so it's not about whether you're entertained. It's whether like the piece itself is entertaining, I think is the point.
So when you're all playing, would you, like, do you just hear, like, someone off or something's not where you want it to be? Like, how do you know what's missing?
Pretty much it.
Okay.
I think, like, I don't know. What do you think?
No, I think that's totally it. Yeah, it's like, hear something or, like, yeah, or we'll hear something playing or, like, or back in, like, listening to a demo or something. Then, like, oh, that can be. Or, like, yeah, even, like, we'll write something, demo it, and then at home we'll figure out something else. Like, oh, this would be great to add to that.
Mm-hmm.
So, like that.
Yeah, one great problem we've discovered is like it's difficult to make changes on songs because it's like it's kind of
you get attached.
Yeah, you get attached, and like when you do make a change, like it's kind of hard to like sometimes understand like maybe past changes you've made. So when we keep making changes, like you don't really know if the song is getting better or not, but like you just really like changing it over and over again.
Yeah.
And so like we've had to work through that a lot on this record, but I don't know. It's been an interesting experience, like. Just tweaking. It's a black hole. It truly is.
Well, because nothing's ever really done.
Yeah, like absolutely.
You just walk away at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so I think recording this record, like, we just got by it by just saying, like, we'll tweak all the way right to the end. Like, the first song we played today, like we tweaked that the practice before we even went to
record. Yeah, had, like, a little bit of a longer intro. There's a little bit more intricate. And then, like, the day before, we're like, let's just cut it.
Yeah.
But that's happened like tons of times where we'll get like so far into a song and it's almost like you do it like 39 times and then the 40th time you're like, no, I don't like this anymore. And it worked all that way, but you needed to get all that way to get to that time to realize it didn't work.
Yeah. Well, I'm stoked on that intro. I like it.
Yeah, like yeah, just
setting it was a good
idea. Like, yeah, let's just play one chord over and over again just for like two bars. And it's just like, okay, yeah. Sure. I was so against it at first, and then realized, oh, it actually is a lot better.
So you talked about maybe including some more ambient stuff on that new record, and I realize you haven't had a chance to record it, but what kind of ideas do you have in mind?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Like, how do you make ambient music? I've never understood where it comes from.
For me, I guess my thing right now is a lot of stuff with field recording. So I have this little portable microphone, mm-hmm. and I'll like go out, into the world of people and nature and sounds, and I'll just start kind of recording little clips and stuff.
Okay.
And then I'll like put it into my computer and like maybe try different things with like panning these sounds or playing them simultaneously. I might try recording acoustic instruments and like reversing them. It's kind of like a collage sort of thing for my approach with ambient music. So a lot of cutting things up and just kind of smashing them together and seeing how they sound. And yeah.
How do you know what sounds good for ambient music? Like, do your ears just tell you that this is nice? Or, like, what are you looking for?
Yeah, pretty much that. Like, if it sounds good. I guess usually I want something that sounds really textural. So there's a lot of different, like, kind of, textures, flavors going on. It's like a big, just, like, mix of stuff.
Yeah, kind of like... For me, like, I like ambient music that's almost like any, like, music where it's progressive and kind of seems to where, like, ambient music, it's, like, almost just stay in the same place. But there's pieces I like where, like, it starts off one place and it's, yeah, just tonal whatever. And then by the end of it, it's a completely different, like, song or something like that. Like, stuff like by Stars of the Lid, how it just, like, starts off in one place and you think it's just, like, one long journey, but at the end it's, like, completely different. Stuff like that, like, actually, like, changing. Like, almost, like, focusing on one, like, piece of water going down a river or something like that.
Wow.
It's interesting.
Mm-hmm. It's actually changed my opinion. I like ambient music that, like...
I have a different opinion now.
That doesn't do the same thing for a long time and is actually quite progressive. Maybe that's what you were just saying.
Yeah. So everything I just said.
Yeah, I agree with that guy. Yeah.
Well, because, like, ambient music... I mean, I could be wrong. I haven't listened to a lot of ambient music, but it... Unless it's doing something, I don't like it.
Yeah.
Like, if it's the same ambient thing for a while, like, if it's, like, you in a barn and the barn door squeaking over and over again, which does happen, like, a fair bit in post-rock.
Mm-hmm. Really, there's a whole, like,
Isn't that John Hopkins song? There's something with John Hopkins, and he has a door squeaking or something like that, and that's the drum beat.
Set Fire to Flames is a Canadian band, and they recorded it, and, like, they recorded an album in, like, this barn. Mm-hmm. And so there'll just be, like, minutes of, like, ambient barn noise. Mm-hmm. And I was, like, listening to it, and I'm like, is this music?
That's you just got deep there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is this art?
Yeah, it's like Old MacDonald, the record. Who knows?
There's a record? What?
Well, no, it's just a bad joke.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't know. It's whatever you consider music. That's like, some people wouldn't even consider our music music. It's just...
Yeah, some people might say our music is irrational.
People always ask me what math rock is, and I try to explain it. It's like, well, it's like jumpy, and it's like, it's stuff. Yeah. I mean, so I don't mean to label you guys. How do you guys feel you fit into
I think we fit into it.
The genre.
We're not really actually, one of my goals is for our album is to get reviewed and just for like real hardcore math rock fans to say, this isn't math rock. This is like, they've taken the genre too far. Not to say that we're going to do that, like, it's, I kind of almost like want like the like Death Heaven like reviews of this album where it's like, this isn't like black metal and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Who do they think they are? I want people to say, who do they think they are with this?
You
want
to be big enough to have haters? Is that what I'm hearing?
Kind of.
Yeah, I guess so.
I don't know about big enough, but I think, I don't know, the math rock community is pretty, it's pretty small, and they're also pretty... It's
pretentious.
Very.
Super pretentious.
There's a Facebook math rock page, and it's like...
Math rock news or something?
Something like that.
Everyone
in there is I know we're just really dissing so many people.
I don't pay too much attention to all the stuff that goes on.
I don't
on
pay attention. I just remember reading one thing. It's like, if it's still in 4/4, is it math rock? And the guy goes... I only write stuff in 7/4. I can't imagine writing 4/4. I'm just like, oh, shut up.
Yeah, some people don't even like use some of the weirder time signatures, like 11:08 or 13:08. Like, yeah. Who do they think they are?
Yeah,
Jesus.
Yeah. How do you? This is another question that I've been wondering. So, how do you coordinate changing time signatures? Like, just lots of practice? How does that work?
A lot of practice.
You have practice until it just becomes like a groove or just the mood. Because there's so many times with our music, and that sounds really pretentious, I don't even count anymore. But
well, but I mean, you do anything enough, you don't.
Yeah, exactly. But like, yeah. I think that's a more focused thing. Mm-hmm. Like, there are parts like where there's like, I think it's more when there's sections where I'm not playing. That's when I have to count.
Mm-hmm.
And but I don't know, between changes and stuff. I think I think it's just like something that once it becomes a feeling and a groove, I think it's fine. Well, that's just for me.
I think our music is like on the odd meter front. It's pretty straightforward. Like, there's some odd meters going on for sure, but there's not a whole lot of like
no polyrhythms or anything.
Yeah, like there's maybe that one part in Monster Protocol song we have at the end.
I guess kind of, yeah.
Yeah, but like
that's still pretty straightforward.
Well, don't talk yourself down. I was watching you shred on that thing. That's crazy stuff, man.
It's straightforward in the sense that like there's not a lot of like there's a lot of like I guess like awkward placements of like shots or notes or whatever where like you need to be like really like cognizant of what's going on. Mm-hmm. I guess like there's a lot of just like riffs and like if you hear the melody. Like, that'll be enough, and you'll get by without having to really know the rhythm, I think, too much.
Yeah, I think the main thing kind of for us is, like, melody above anything. Like, melody within, like, the chords and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's the answer right there. It's definitely melody first. Like, the rhythms are just kind of, like, part of the melody, I'd say, for us.
Yeah. And also, we're just speaking for ourselves because we're the guitar players. Yeah. We're the main, like, Miles, if you could hear the drums, like Miles is just playing crazy stuff. And same with Brendan, his like counterpoint of bass playing.
Yeah.
Like, I remember like when we did Zeus Tragedies, our first EP.
Best EP name ever, by the way. That's when I saw that, I was like, man, these guys know what they're doing.
Yeah. When we did that, we just had the drums and the bass tracks. And like, they're completely different songs. You would not tell. You couldn't tell that like where the songs would go when we had the guitar on. It was pretty crazy.
Yeah, I just want to add, there's a funk song on this record. We didn't play it, but there's
so excited.
Yeah, there's a funk tune. when we recorded it, apparently it sounds like the Talking Heads.
It's pretty Talking Heads.
Yeah. It's called Lethal Weapon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
I'm just going to hype that one a little bit.
Cool. Yeah. Well, I'm hyped for it.
Great movie.
Yeah.
Having you guys in here is a real pleasure. It's something that we've been working on for a long time.
Yeah,
because I'm awesome. I'm bad at coordinating things, and it's hard. And
it is difficult.
Yeah. So, it's been a real pleasure, and you guys are just cool to hang out with. And I fangirl a bit because like watching you guys play, you guys shred harder than paper shredders shred paper.
Wow.
And so I was wondering also like if you've ever like had a shredding contest with a paper shredder. Or alternatively, with Shredder from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I'd like to do that. That'd be pretty cool to fight Shredder. But
well, just a shredding contest, I think. What
if he's shredding us with his like ninja claws?
I don't know. I think it'd be a great idea if like we could get like Office Depot to sponsor it. And,
like Battle of the Bands.
Yeah, but like style? Presented by like a stationery company or whatever. That'd be cool. Yeah.
That'd be pretty cool if we had our own stationery. I would love to have Zeus Strategy pens or something like that.
Yeah,
that'd be pretty sweet.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. Like A4 paper, but like Zoo Strategies.
Yeah, I remember talking about getting some like name cards one time, just hand them out to people. That'd be pretty sweet.
I don't know. Maybe we'll just go to Staples after.
I want to get business cards that say Ben Life, business card owner. That's just a personal thing, just so you know.
I like the ones that, I think my cousin got them for his birthday years ago, but he got one that had his name on it, and then like a little like golf flag, and a little like green and stuff like that. I'm like... You're 10 years old.
10 years old golfer.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, we are running out of time, it looks like. It was a pleasure to have you guys on the show. The new album, Languager, will be coming out sometime.
Definitely by this year.
2016, 2017, guaranteed.
Okay. Yeah, probably. Yeah. Definitely by that.
Sometime before you die.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, for sure.
I would say definitely by
that. Well, ideally.
We can't know that.
Yeah.
We cannot know that.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Ideally.
We do not know.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then moving forward, Polar Horse.
Yeah, probably something related to that.
Polar Horse, we'll probably do something. I play music also with a girl called Alexandria Mayo. So that's my other project I play in mainly.
It's really hard-hitting music.
Cool. So, yeah, thank you guys for coming, and we will play you out with one of your own songs. How about that? How about Magic Beach?
All right.
Yeah, let's do that.
Stay tuned.